And now we're rolling.
Okay. If you would, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis chapter 3. I'm just going to read one verse. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Now, I've entitled this message, The First Sacrifice. Because in the Bible, this is basically the first sacrifice you'll see. There's not a whole heck of a lot of information here, but there is a whole lot of information here. This is one of my favorite scriptures in the whole book, right here. I remember, and I've actually, so I got some books from David a few weeks ago that used to belong to Earl, and so I had to rearrange my bookshelves in the library. And this is one of the things I happened upon while I was there. It's an old book by M.R. DeHaan, M.D., and it's called Portraits of Christ in Genesis. And if you can get past the Arminian stuff that's in there, okay, which it's there. I mean, you know, it's actually a pretty good book because he is looking for and seeing and writing about the pictures of Christ in the book of Genesis in the Old Testament, which this Bible is a book of Jesus Christ, Old Testament, New. Moses wrote of me. Christ said that. Christ meant it. And this is one of the things, well, that's one of the reasons why I did the thing on Noah's Ark, and this also, because I don't know, because I got this book like going on 25 years ago, a long time ago, at a Bible bookstore in Bluefield. I'd heard some of his radio broadcasts, and they were better than most. They were. And so I saw this book, and I got it, and I read it, and I was blessed by it. I can't recommend it to everybody, but if you can get past some things, he does have a tendency to use the phrase about accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and that kind of stuff. But this, I don't know if he knew how true what he wrote down was. This is a sacrifice. And as a sacrifice, it is a picture of Christ.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because every sacrifice written about in the scriptures is a picture of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Every one. Now, this is the first one written. And as such, it is an example. Now, I didn't say it was a spiritual thing. It actually happened.
Yeah.
It was an example of what Christ would do. A picture, a type. Every sacrifice after this one has these things in common. Now, he wrote down three things as the perfect pattern of the sacrifice given here. This is one verse by itself. One verse. Number one, it must be, the sacrifice must be God's gift. And his work alone. I underlined that in that book. That's good. Number two, it must be by the death of an innocent substitute. That's good too. And number three, it must be, there must be the shedding of blood. That's good statements. Those are true statements. The first statement is certainly true. The sacrifice comes from God, not from man. The sacrifice in this example is not actually even named. You don't know what kind of animal it was. There have been guesses. Lord of mercy, there have been guesses. And there have been people who actually thought that somehow or the other, God just conjured these skins out of the air. Mostly that comes from the PETA side of Christianity. I don't know. I don't know. Well, no, there are Jews. Jewish rabbis, one I talked to in particular, who think they really didn't kill all them animals in this book. It's just stories to teach you things. And it was stories to show us how to live our own lives and all this stuff. And of course, I went off at this particular point in time. And I told him, I says, well, you've got a whole book of stories about God sticking his nose in our business, if that's what you believe. Because that's what he did here. He stepped in. And he stepped in because we needed him to step in. Adam needed him. Anyway, Adam and Eve had eaten the forbidden fruit, and it says they knew they were naked. It didn't say they saw they were naked. They knew it. Something had changed. They covered themselves with fig leaf aprons, which they knew were not enough, because when God came in the cool of the evening, they hid. Even though they had aprons on, they still hid. And then when God did come by, God called Adam by name, called somebody out. And Adam, of course, Cain. He was called by name. Mm-hmm. I call my sheep by name.
Yeah.
And they hear me and they follow me. That wasn't a question. That was a fact. So God talked to Adam. And the excuses started. The woman you gave me picked of the tree and I did eat. God told them, in the sweat of your face, you're going to eat bread.
Yeah.
Work is a part of the curse. And you know that every day you show up for it. Then God made coats of skin for Adam and his wife. It doesn't say what kind of skins they were. The scripture actually, in this place, doesn't actually tell us that something was killed. I'll admit that. But we are also never told there was a tree in the garden that grew coats of skins either. So I don't think that was there. The point here is, God didn't ask Adam or Eve if they wanted a coat of skin. God didn't tell them they needed a coat of skin. God made them a coat of skin. God made them. They weren't consulted. They weren't asked. They weren't consulted as to the fall wardrobe. He didn't tell them that winter was coming on and you're going to need something warmer than fig leaves. He didn't even ask them what kind of skins they wanted. Sin happened. God came. Made coats of skins. And he made them for them.
Mm-hmm.
For both of them. These skins were a gift from God. The Hebrew word here is called or. It's spelled O-W-R, but it's pronounced or. And I looked, just in case for some people, I don't think anybody here, but this word is translated in the Bible. It's used 99 times, or. 96 times it's translated skins. 2 times it's translated hide. And 1 time it's translated as leather. So it seems to be that these coats of skins were actually an animal skin. They were not made of plant material. And God made them for Adam and for Eve. And then comes the best part. As far as I'm concerned, God clothed them. You know, he didn't ask them if they wanted a coat of skin. He didn't ask them what kind of skin they wanted. He didn't ask them what color they wanted. And he didn't ask them if they wanted to wear them. He put them on them. God clothed them. And I remember reading that years ago and saying, oh my gosh, it's there in the beginning. And even Mr. DeHaan, or Dr. DeHaan, he had it written in there, in the notes. God didn't ask them. It says they did absolutely, positively nothing. God made them, and God put them on them. Mm-hmm. And they were covered.
Yeah.
That's the good part. He didn't invite them to come to the front. If they wanted to be clothed, come on up here. Actually, he'd already called them up there. God clothed them. So the conclusion on this part is the complete and total input of Adam and Eve in the part of this sacrifice, in any part of this sacrifice, is zero. Adam and Eve did absolutely nothing. God purposed, God planned, God gave, and God clothed. God provided the sacrifice. God made the coats of skin from that sacrifice. And God clothed them. And they received it. They received it. The sacrifice that God accepts comes from God himself.
Mm-hmm.
And nowhere else. This is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. No one asked for Jesus Christ to be the sacrifice. While he was here on the earth, they tried to kill him more than once. This was a decision for Jesus that God made before the foundation of the world. He was as a lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. Adam wasn't consulted, and neither were you or I. The sacrifice was purposed, planned, and chosen, as Walter's been preaching on, before this earth ever existed. Then in the fullness of time, the Lord's Christ came and became the acceptable sacrifice for sin to God. Acceptable to God. Because Christ was the sacrifice for sin forever by his own work alone. Now, secondly, this sacrifice involved the death of one who was not involved in the offense. Wherever these skins came from, and I will admit, it doesn't tell you, but it does tell you they were there. Wherever these skins came from whatever animal they came from, that animal had nothing to do with what Adam and Eve did. It had no part or lot in it. Something which had nothing to do with the sin of Adam, the sin in Adam, was made into a covering for Adam, for the offenders. An innocent substitute died so that others Hope they're not aiming this way. I hate to get shot in church. Anyway, sorry about that. An innocent substitute died so that others, sinners, could be and would be covered. Now, the one thing, and something I hadn't seen until I read this, and it seems to be true as far as I can tell, Dr. DeHaan makes a point here that this sacrifice was made the same day as the sin. I can't swear to it, but as far as you can tell by reading the account, this happened, they made fig leaves of aprons, and then it talks about, then they hid themselves, and then in the cool of the evening. So it seems like it did all happen on the same day. Now, he makes a point, which I don't necessarily agree with, that, okay, had this gone on to the next day, you know, Adam would have died physically. I don't hold with that. But it did seem that God had a pretty good handle on the situation. This didn't surprise him. They had sinned. They knew they were naked. They'd made the apron of fig leaves. And then in the cool of the day, God came and called Adam by name. The same day, it seems possible that Adam had sinned, a substitute was slain in his place. And its skin covered him. The door opened in the back, Chad. I don't know if somebody's there or not. It may not have been shut all the way. The innocent substitute had died to cover the guilty. You know, if I believed in omens, I think I might quit right now. Gunshots, doors opening. Is this Buzzy Keller's church? The penalty for sin is death. Okay? The penalty for sin was death, is death, and ever will be death. The law hasn't gone anywhere. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. He's not the end of the law for righteousness to everyone. The law is still here. Yeah. Christ told us. He narrowed the Ten Commandments down to two. But the punishment for breaking the law is still death. And it always has been. Mm-hmm. An innocent substitute died in the place of the guilty. It's almost as if there was a plan. It's almost if, I mean, seriously, it's almost as if somebody thought this whole thing out. Well, there was a purpose. There was a plan. Because there was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Christ came to the world for this purpose. To become the perfect substitutionary sacrifice for sin for his people. Christ was sinless, guiltless, innocent, and totally willing. For this cause I came. For this cause. He was the perfect sacrifice for sin because he was and is totally acceptable to the Father. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God never says that about anybody else. You will never find those words in here, anywhere, other than talking about Jesus Christ. Well pleased. Again, Christ was the substitute from the beginning, before the foundation of the world. From the beginning. Now, thirdly, God shows this fact. And this fact is, without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Now, like I said, I know there's no mention in this little verse here of bloodshed or killing in this paragraph. I was looking at, and I do this stuff, I use the online Bible on my computer. This verse, according to the online Bible, is a paragraph all by itself, one sentence. It stands alone. I don't know how they divide it up when they set up a paragraph when they're writing in the Hebrew, but that's the way they've got it in there. This one verse, one sentence, is a paragraph, because I'll tell you something, this verse will stand. Now, everything up to it still counts. Everything after it still counts, but this verse can stand by itself. God clothed them. God made coats of skin, and God clothed them. But like I said, even though there's no mention of blood or death in this verse does tell us of coats of skin. Skins. And like I said, unless God just created these things out of thin air, which he could do, something died. And when you go to skin something, something dies. As we'll see later on in Leviticus, blood is shed. Blood was shed in every one of the other, what they call the blood sacrifices, given in the book of Leviticus for the tabernacle and for the temple. You had to use a knife, supposedly, that didn't touch anything else. You couldn't touch bone. They would cut the animal's throat and bleed it out. This wasn't pretty. I remember talking to Earl about this one time. And I said, nobody really talks about it. And what you see in the movies don't count. Okay? Because they got it wrong with Charlton Heston in the Ten Commandments. In the scriptures, it talks about blood being shed because it's important. Because it is a type of when Christ would actually come and his blood would be shed. And it wasn't pretty. It wasn't pretty. They said his visage was so marred as that he didn't resemble a man. He was beat up. And the iniquity of all of his people was laid upon him. And his blood was shed for them. Blood atonement means that blood is shed for the atonement. Blood has to be shed for the atonement. Blood was shed for the atonement. All of the blood sacrifices spoken of in Leviticus were for the forgiveness of sins up to and including the Day of Atonement. The penalty for sin is death. It's got to happen. Somebody's got to die. The penalty is not injury, it's not penance, it's not chastisement, it's not even corporal punishment as they talk about it in school, spankings. The penalty for sin is death. Death and bloodshed must happen. And it happened here. And I'll repeat it again. Christ said, "For this cause came I into this world." When the soldiers came to get him, They started to put up a fight, and Christ stopped them and said, "Don't you know I could call 12 legions of angels right now?" He could call 12 legions of angels right now. That's overkill. I think one good angel would have took care of the whole lot. Because Peter cut off somebody's ear. But he could call 12 legions of angels. But he didn't. He allowed himself to be taken. He allowed himself to be beaten. He allowed himself to be whipped. He allowed them to put a crown of thorns on his head. He allowed them to give him that cross, and he carried it to that hill, and he allowed them to nail his hands into the tree. Could have stopped it at any time. But for this cause, he came into the world. Death must happen. Sin has to be punished. It's what God was teaching Adam right here. Something's got to die. And it's either you or Christ. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Something, someone has to die. Hanging on the cross, Christ's body was pierced, and out came forth blood and water. The fulfillment of all the types of sacrifices in the Old Testament was seen in the death of Christ on the cross. His blood was shed to justify many. His blood shed did justify many. Because it took away their sins. Isaiah 53 verses 10 through 12, it says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied." There's no doubt here anywhere on any of this. "By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." That's the sacrifice of Christ. Now, very quickly, I'm going to try. That's the three things Mr. DeHaan wrote down. But I got a fourth. It's one of them points somebody left out. He actually listed it, but he didn't go into it because I don't know whether he didn't want to or he knew it or what. I have no idea. He only had three things on his list. Like I said, he was pretty Arminian. He wrote a lot of times of accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. And the nonsense that goes along with that. But, as I said, he did state it clearly. And I underlined it in the book. Because fourthly, the application of this sacrifice is by God. That's what that says. The application, the actual applying. Adam wasn't asked. Adam wasn't consulted. He didn't even tell him to, you know, put your arms up in the air. God clothed them. The application of the sacrifice to the sinner is the work of God. Not only did God plan and provide a sacrifice for sin, not only did God kill an innocent substitute, not only did God make coats of skins, God clothed them in those coats of skins. And you won't hear that anywhere else emphasized. A lot of times you won't even hear it mentioned. Because this is a true picture of the application of the death of Jesus Christ upon God's chosen people. This is the way God saves sinners. Christ saves sinners. It comes from God. It doesn't come from man. He doesn't have a clothes rack up here of coats of skin, and you come up and pick one and put it on. He made one for Adam and Eve, and he put it on them. How are people saved today? Jesus Christ clothed them. He clothed them in his righteousness. He washes them in his shed blood, and they are made whiter than snow. God doesn't ask. God doesn't consult. God saves. God gave his people to Christ. God gave Christ to his people. And Christ's sacrifice on the cross, and that sacrifice's acceptance by God, saved his people from their sins. He was the acceptable sacrifice to God. The sacrifice was not made to us. It was made to him. Because he's offended. He's the one we've sinned against. And that's who has to be pleased. The Holy Spirit applies this salvation in time and on time to each and every individual that was chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. This religious world believes and teaches that God planned and provided Christ as a sacrifice, but it's up to us to do something with it. That's not what's taught here in Genesis 3:21. It's not even close. Matter of fact, it's dead wrong. And I think it's very intriguing. And matter of fact, just flat out wonderful that the first type of sacrifice we have in this book first type of the sacrifice of Christ ends with God applying that sacrifice to those he chose to save. I don't think that's a coincidence. I swear, I love it when a plan comes together. There's nothing for chance here. There's nothing left to chance. God did it. DeHaan was right. It must be God's gift and his work alone. All of it. And I believe that wholeheartedly. I hope he did. But I believe it. And by his help, I'll continue to believe it. I hope y'all believe it too. Because it's true. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this day and this place. And Lord, we thank you that you have, from the beginning, chosen your people to salvation. And that Jesus Christ, our Lord, was the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. And that you have made provision, you have planned, you have purposed, and you have provided, and you will apply your salvation wherever you please, just as it pleases you. And we will give you the honor and the praise and the glory because it is yours now and forever. Amen.